Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we're here this day again to come worship you. It should be our favorite thing to do. And I think all of us here, we definitely like to do that, or we wouldn't be here in this cold. Some of us don't care for the cold, including myself, but it's one of the seasons, just like we go through seasons in our life. The weather goes, you know, through its seasons. And it's all for a reason, just like we were just talking about the bugs and stuff. Well, everything in our life has a season. And we thank you so much for you watching over us through those, helping us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides us through all that to where we can be successful. We just love you and we thank you. And as I get ready to minister, Lord, just speak through me and let everybody get something out of this that they can use in the future. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What I want to talk about today is what keeps us from doing wrong. And I'm not talking about just Christians. I'm just talking in general. What keeps people from doing wrong? And basically, you have to believe it's okay to do what you're doing. I mean, that applies to any of us sitting here. Is that too loud or is that okay? Seems kind of loud. It applies to, you know, any of us sitting here, and it applies to anybody, even people that don't believe in Jesus. You know, there's a reason that we make the decisions that we do and why we do what we do. And now, granted, people do wrong, and sometimes it's just, oh, what the heck, man, we're going to do wrong. But generally, we feel it's okay to do it or we wouldn't do it. So what do we base it on? I mean, what do we base on what we believe? I mean, what we're going to do? I mean, how do we know right from wrong? Well, Christians, obviously, we base our right from wrong on the Bible. And I just want to real quick run through the Ten Commandments. Just going to do one-liners. I'm not going to read the whole thing on each one because we'd be here too long. You shall have no other gods before me. In other words, God wants to be number one. You shall not make yourself a carved image, which basically what he's talking about there is God's the only one. I mean, you shouldn't set up a statue and worship it and stuff like that, but it's not really a physical, not just a physical, it's also a mental. You can make anything a god. Anything that you put ahead of God would be an image, and you shouldn't do that. You shall not take the name of the Lord of your God in vain, which you hear that all the time. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Like what we're doing right here, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be with him. And he wants us to spend time with him. He wants us to spend time together. And he wants us to remember that Sunday is his day. Now, I'm perfectly convinced he's got no problem with us riding motocross. But Sunday is still his day, and we need to dedicate it to him. And if we don't have time to do it on Sunday, then we ought to dedicate Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. He doesn't care what day it is, but he wants some of our time. And he wants us to have a Sabbath. We go on, honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. Now, that's real quick. I just kind of wanted to run through them just to set up to where we're at. And you're like, wow, that's Ten Commandments. Okay, a lot of people believe in the Ten Commandments. They aren't that awful hard to follow. But if you get in the Bible, there's a whole bunch of other stuff the Bible talks about that we ought to do and not do. And we do live by grace. We're saved by grace. So if we mess up, hey, we're forgiven. That's not a problem. But, man, how in the heck can I do all that? Well, I want to read out of Romans. It says, the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Wow, it just got really simple, didn't it? We just got to treat everybody else the way we want to be treated. And if we do that, we're covered. Now, that makes it a whole lot easier. And we were talking about yesterday, you know, if you honestly ask God for what he wants you to do and you really listen to him, he will tell you. And the same thing with right or wrong. He will tell you what's right or wrong. Now, you got to be honest with him, because it's real easy to talk ourselves into stuff. Well, I know. Well, yeah, I'm sure that's okay. You know, we do that a lot. But why base it on the Bible? Why should we base the way we live on the Bible? I mean, we could base it on, you know, all kinds of other stuff. But you need a baseline. There's got to be something that says, this is right and this is wrong. And if you don't have a moral baseline, you end up with stuff like kids shooting up kids in school. You end up with people going, I mean, everybody just doing their own thing. Whatever is right in their mind. And whatever's wrong, well, what's right for you is not right for you. And what's wrong for you is not wrong for you. That's, I don't know, horse pucky, I think. That's about the best word I can think of that fits in the setting that we're in. I mean, people claim, you know, nowadays you listen to people and they go, there is no absolutes. I mean, there is no absolutes. And the only thing I could say about that is, are you absolutely sure about that? Because right there is an absolute. So you already destroyed what they're telling you. There are still absolutes. There is right from wrong. And we have chosen to make the Bible our baseline. So we have a rule book, if you want to use, you know, say that, that we can live by. So, but that's okay, you know, I just worry about myself, I know that, you know, I read the Bible, so now all I got to do is worry about myself and take care of things. You know, I'm not a citizen of this world anymore, you know, this is the reasoning a lot of people use. You know, I'm just going to lock myself up in my little house and live my life for Jesus, and why am I going to worry about the rest of the world? Well, there's a big problem with that, too, because if we do read the Bible and study the Word, it tells us some other things, too. And one of them is, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Wow. Now, if we're the salt of the earth, what does that mean? Well, when you're cooking, you put salt in food, and it changes the flavor of the food. My wife found out a while back that she can't eat salt anymore, and I never realized how much of a difference it makes when you take salt out of a meal. You know, all of a sudden, I'm adding salt, because I wasn't told I can't eat it. So, you know, you're adding salt to your meal. Well, the same way, we're supposed to be the salt of the earth and influence people around us. Well, it goes on to say right after that, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. So that's basically saying the same thing again. We're supposed to be the light of the world. Well, if it's pitch black out, you know, just like they're saying, you're not going to hide the light under a bowl. You're going to put it up where everybody can see it. And the same way, we need to be an influence on people around us. Now, I don't recommend going around and beating people up with the word. I've seen people do that, and all that does is turns people off. And it used to do that to me. I was born and raised in a church that I didn't like, where my mom and dad were going. So at the age of, I don't know, like 17, 18, I ran away, and for years wanted nothing to do with anybody that talked about the Bible. So you got to be sensitive when you talk to people, but we can be an influence on this world. We can be an influence on our friends and our neighbors. Conversation always comes up, and people are like, what's your opinion about that? And you already got an open door to talk to them. You know, and that's what we need to do. And why am I on this subject today? Well, most of you probably figured it out already. A couple of weeks, it's time to vote. We're going to get a new president. And the last thing I want to do is sit here and tell you which direction to vote. I mean, it's really tough choices here as to who the people are you want to vote for. I mean, it's just, we don't have very many choices. We don't have very many or any good choices. But we still have to be the salt of the earth. And the point I'm trying to make is, let's make sure we are that salt of the earth when it comes time to vote this time. Because we got to get this country back on track. Yeah, you know, there's something, I'm not a real good end time scholar. I don't study the end times that good. The one thing I know for sure, Jesus is coming back. That's a guarantee. And that's as good as I am on the end times. I don't know what country does what and what country does this and that, like some of the scholars think they know. But when you read the notes of some of these scholars, the one thing that you notice is the USA is not really in there. America is not mentioned anywhere in the end times. And you wonder why. Is it because we're no longer a world power where we don't really matter anymore? Where this country became just all of a sudden, you know, just another country? Or did so many of us get saved that we're so Christian that, you know, we're just overwhelming everything and they didn't need to talk about us? I don't know. But it does make you wonder, you know, are those scholars right? Has America gotten so insignificant to where in the end times we're not going to matter? That'd be kind of scary, that we're not a better influence in that. So when it's time to vote, is it on the 6th, I think we vote? 6th or the 8th, one or the other. I think it's the 6th. Let's make sure we all go to the poll. Yeah, you might want to double check the date. That'd be me, show up 2 days late. Oh, I'm sorry, man. I thought I was going to be here. But that'd be my luck. I've done that for meetings. It's embarrassing as heck when you do that. But let's make sure we're the salt of the earth. And then, not just then, even though the election, that's the one thing, but we need to be an influence on the United States. We need to be an influence on the people around us. And we can be an influence just by the way we live. Like I said, if we have the opportunity to minister to them, let's do it. Let's get as many people to come to Christ as we can, because one of these days when he comes back, some people claim it's going to be very shortly. You know, it could be today. It could be in 1,000 years. But he is coming back. That's a guarantee. And a lot of the people that are my friends that are unsaved, I want them there with me. And I'm sure you got friends like that too. So with that, I would like to close. Dear Lord God, we thank you so much for your word. And you know, it says we're the salt of the earth. We're light to the world. And we need to be that. But some of us get complacent and stuff. And, you know, we don't talk to people. And we don't minister. And we don't spread the good news. And we need to do that. I ask that you'd put it on everybody's heart that we are the salt of the earth like we need to be. And in this upcoming election, I ask that you put the person in office that this country needs. I'm not sure I want to say that this country deserves, but I do know that this country needs a change. So Father God, just see us through all that. Be with us. Lord, it's the last state race, so a lot of us aren't going to see each other for a while. If we don't see each other, you know, just be with them and let them have a wonderful rest of the year and an awesome holiday season. And just let's celebrate Christmas and remember the birth of Jesus and till we can get back together again. We just thank you so much, Lord. And as we get ready to go racing, I ask for protection on all of us. Be with us. Protect us. Just watch over us today. Let us have a good time. As always, do it for your glory, not ours. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.